Good morning. Greetings to all of you in the name of Jesus. Thankful to be here with you all today and worship the Lord with you all. I'm blessed by the things that were shared here this morning already. I would like to turn to John chapter 16 and begin with some verses there. My focus this morning is shaping perspective in an evil world. And by perspective, I talk about our mental view. I think we would all recognize that our mental view really shapes how life is going to work out to a large extent for us. And so, shaping perspective in an evil world. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you invite us to be a part of your family and we can experience your life, your presence in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the reminders that were shared this morning already, especially from the book of Ephesians, the reminders that we live in a world where there's so much that goes on. So whether we recognize it or not, there's so much evil that happens. But you remind us that the battle is not against flesh and blood. And so, God, I pray that we would be able to see the spiritual battles. Whatever part of it you want us to see, we would allow you to equip us to be prepared for those things. We would allow you, by your word and the working of your spirit, to shape our perspective of how we look at life, how we deal with life, how we look at culture and how we deal with that. And so we thank you for your word. And I pray that you would work through your word today, as you always do, in the lives of your people, in our lives. Help us to hear, to understand, and to allow your peace to be a part of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, John chapter 16. I got a bunch of verses here today, and I don't know how much of it all I'll get through. And my desire is that the Word of God, not my opinions, would shape my mental outlook and all of y'all's. And I know that that's what we all desire. And so, John chapter 16. Oh, where should we start? Verse 22. Kind of breaking in the middle of where Jesus was talking to his disciples. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speaketh no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet am I not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In this scripture here, there are a couple of things that it really stood out to me. Jesus is giving his followers assurance. And in verse 23, Jesus assures his followers that their prayers are heard. God cares. God knows what's going on. And our prayers are heard. In verse 27, he assures us of God's love. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. And so believing in Jesus Christ, believing that he is the Son of God, that he is God, God's love that he poured onto Jesus is then in turn poured onto us. And so there we have an assurance of love from God. And then verse 33, we have assurance that when we believe Jesus' words, we can have peace. Peace that comes from believing on Jesus and having his presence in our lives. A lot of us have at least heard a little bit about some of the things that have gone on recently in the world. And if you're like me, your mind starts to go through all kinds of different things from Scripture. And we can be reminded by Scripture that evil in the world should be no big surprise. That is the world that is doing what the world does. And thankful for the verses that Steve mentioned this morning about being prepared for battle. I like to read, most of y'all know that, I like to read stories. And warfare has gone from sticks and rocks to some crazy technology. It has changed tremendously. There was a time when warfare was conducted with just sharp, pointy things. That was it. And then it went to, you know, all these different things that completely changed warfare. And if you read history, you can see that. But warfare, the spiritual warfare that believers are involved in, has not changed since the Word of God was written. The kind of warfare and the weapons of that warfare are still the same thousands of years later. Those have not changed. And ultimately, the spiritual darkness that we fight against, that it talks about there in Ephesians, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. That is all driven by Satan's original way of coming to Eve, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The evil in the world is driven by those three things. And it comes in so many different ways, but that is basically what we deal with and drives human nature, drives the evil and the wickedness in the world. And we are reminded that in Ephesians, we're given a list of weaponry that God gives to us, protections, and also we're reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Weapons, carnal weapons, takes a lot of thought, a lot of planning, a lot of trying to stay ahead of the other guy. In the spiritual world, God simply gives us the weapons that we need to be overcomers. And they don't depend on my thinking it up, but it depends on my believing in the Word of God and claiming the Word of God for what it is and allowing Him to empower it. And all that's just what it is. And really, really, when it comes down to it, it's a pretty basic concept that we deal with. This circle here, we'll say it represents heaven. And if some of you guys could have your Bibles ready to read some scriptures, Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, I think encapsulates the idea of what heaven is going to be. Brother Josh. That's right. In thy presence is fullness of joy. So I believe heaven is encapsulated by fullness of joy. So the best of what we could experience that will bring joy into our lives is heaven. We can imagine. We have little glimpses in the Word of God of what heaven is going to be like. But I believe that that verse where David is talking about God, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And, Luke chapter 16, verses 23 to 26. Luke 16, 23 to 26. If somebody could read those verses.
Long way off, finds it at his side. Father Abraham called out, have mercy on me and send my uncle to the tip of the finger in water to protect them. Son, Abraham said, remember that during your life you received your good things, just as Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted while you are in agony. Besides all this, a great chasm has been fixed between us and you, so that those who want to pass you cannot. Neither can those there cross over
with us. Thank you. And I think that hell can be encapsulated as lack of any comfort. We see the story there that Jesus told. And that man Lazarus was desiring one drop of water. Just a drop of water, he thought, would make things better for him. And so while we understand through Scripture that heaven will be a place where there will be fullness of joy, no lack, no lack of anything that will bring joy to our existence, in the same way, just the opposite, in hell, there is lack of anything that will bring any comfort, any joy into our existence. And so we have the two opposites, and this is where we are. And we'll just call this evil world. And we are either traveling toward that or toward that. I know we all understand this, but when we allow this picture to shape our mental view, it, you know, our human nature so much drives what the world does. And we are It's to be expected that we are angry at evil. It's hard not to be angry at those who perpetrate evil. That's the way we are. We expect a level of decency from people. And when they don't do that, it's very easy to be angry. But if we keep in mind that everyone is either heading to heaven or heading to hell, it helps to change our perspective. And I believe God wants that to change our perspective. So in heaven, we see that we have companionship, we have comfort, and on the other side, there is none of that. And in this world, we are in a spiritual battle, as I talked about before. It is spiritual in nature, what is going on. Satan is out to destroy man, who was created in the image of God. Satan desires to destroy that, and he finds lots of different ways to do that, and playing through our human nature. Now, there is some verses here that I want to look up, and sorry, I'm going to use my phone. I can find it faster, and I can actually see it better, so I beg your pardon. It's at least King James Version, so it's a little electronic, but we'll get there in a minute. I'd like to go to John chapter 3. Verses that are of utmost importance in understanding the world we live in, human nature, the bondage that human nature is in. And then we have these words, the words of Jesus, in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It is through the very nature of our human nature that we are condemned to this existence. But these verses tell us that Jesus Christ came to this world to die for our sins, so that we do not need to be condemned by our human nature, but rather that we can enjoy the fullness of joy in an existence with God someday. He that believeth not is condemned already. And Jesus Christ came to save us from the bondage of our human nature and from the grip of an evil world, so that we can have life. We can have light. And do you know, Jesus Christ comes to extend that pardon to every person who will receive it. Some people reject it. Interestingly enough, there are stories of people who have rejected pardons, and more, just a story to illustrate this, in recent years, through the January 6th stuff, a bunch of people were sentenced to prison time, and someone came along that had the authority and said, I'm going to pardon all of you. You're free to go. And there was a person that said, I'm not going to take it. What I did was wrong, and I need to pay the price. I think she'd been sentenced to 5 years. She said, what I did was wrong, and I deserve to pay the price. There's a story told of way back, I don't know if it was in the Civil War, a soldier was condemned to die because of what he had done, and the president heard about it, and he sent a messenger with a pardon. He got there the night before the person was to die, and the man refused it. He said, what I did is worthy of death, and I am a man of honor, and I'm going to take the consequence for what I did. And he died. And a pardon was right there. The same way, I believe there are those who know about the pardon that Jesus extends, and because of pride or what have you, refuse it. And but the pardon is offered. And like I said before, we have an expectation of decency in human nature, and sometimes we're surprised by just how decent and how nice everyday people are. There's no clock back there. I just remembered that. I can talk for a long time today. Okay. Might have to make your alarm go off or something or start waving. Yesterday, I had to deal with a situation, and there was law enforcement, and there was EPA, and there were firemen. And because of the situation, it felt like any one of those could have scolded, could have belittled, could have rebuked. And after the whole thing was over, I was just struck by how kind, how patient, and how sympathetic everybody was. And that's just remarkable when you realize there could have been things the other way. And so while that was more decency than I expected, we do expect that there will be a certain level of decency. But we all know that sometimes that is completely gone and it doesn't happen. And Jesus warned us. Jesus tells us right in his word that there's going to be things that happen that are not at all pleasant. If we go to Matthew chapter 10, and verses 16 through 22. Matthew chapter 10. And I know that some of what I've been talking about here is it's in physical, everyday interactions with people. And Jesus is talking about here, in a spiritual sense, sending forth his disciples into the world. And everything that we do, we are to be doing it as disciples of Jesus. And even though Jesus was sending these men out to preach, in the same way, we are in the world and we are to be representing Jesus. And here's an attitude that Jesus wants us to have in an evil world, dealing with human nature and all the surprises that human nature gives us. Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up brother to death, the father the child. The children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." And so Jesus is telling us, like right up front, that our existence as his disciples and as his followers, it's not always going to be easy. But it really comes back to those verses about spiritual warfare, where God gives us what we need. God equips us to deal with what we are to deal with. And it says here, "Take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak." Our weapons come from God. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Again, we are living in a world that has a bent toward evil. And this speaks into that. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealots of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. And so here he is guiding our focus. It's a reminder of where we live, who we live amongst, but what our focus is to be. We are to be denying the world's system and culture, and instead looking with great expectation for the return of Jesus. 1 Peter speaks somewhat the same things. 1 Peter chapter 2, if we go there, he, in verses 4 through 8 there, he's talking about God's people, the believers, us being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And then in verse 9, he says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitations. And he goes on and talks about relating to government and masters. And if you read through that and ponder, it's all talking about how we relate to the world around us, culture around us, as believers, how we allow the Word of God to shape our mental view of all of that. Going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here, that would be good to read the whole chapter, but we won't take the time to do that. He talks about our earthly tabernacle. If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and some of us feels like our tabernacle is dissolving slowly or quickly or what have you, as we get older, the body doesn't work as well as it used to, maybe because of the abuses that we put it through when we were younger. But there comes a time as we age that these verses become more real. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And it's not only because of the physical shape of our bodies, it's because of the battle, the spiritual battle that we are in. And the longer we live in that, I believe the more we begin to understand the beauty of just having new bodies, being with God, experiencing fullness of joy, and being done with the battles of this world. And so let's say, I'm going to start verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And here's the important verse that I want us to think about, not only about ourselves, but also to think about this evil world and the people that are in this evil world. So verse 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Brother Jerry Maher talked about this, and so shaping our perspective, allowing the Word of God to shape our perspective, our mental view of the world and the people in the world, the people around us, our view of ourselves, we labor that whether absent, present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Skipping all the way down, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. I talked about pardon and how Jesus Christ came to offer pardon to the human race, and some know about it and ignore it. Some do not know. Some perhaps understand a little bit, but don't fully understand. Paul here recognizes that, and he reminds us that there is a day coming when God is going to come back and we are going to face the judgment seat. And so it behooves us to pay attention to our own lives, but not only that, to remind others of the pardon that's available, to remind others of the fact that our human nature is driving us toward a place where there is a lack of any comfort, any joy, anything good that our nature desires to experience. But we don't have to go there. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and we beseech you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, because there is a place where fullness of joy is available. And even to the worst of sinners, maybe we'd be willing to extend that message. And how Josh used to go and sit in this little, he'd get locked in this little cubicle with the worst of sinners, we could say. At least the guys that had done stuff bad enough to be in solitary confinement. And I think Josh has said multiple times that it's surprising how real people these are. And he would go and share the Bible with those people. And so whether we have the opportunity to do it in that way or any other opportunity, God calls us to be ambassadors. But that is allowing the Word of God to shape our view of people. And it is so easy to say, those people need judgment. But God calls us to look at them through a perspective guided by His Word and by His Holy Spirit. If we go to chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, again, shaping our perspective of how we are to be living in this world. Be not, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And he goes on, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Those verses speak to the verse that says, where it talks about being in the world, but not of the world, being a separate people dedicated to serving God. Matthew chapter 5, actually Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Through those chapters, it gives us a lot of instruction on how to relate to the world. And it reminds us again to expect that the world is going to take advantage of us. And it tells us what to do when the world takes advantage of us. And very specific verses there of instructions that Jesus gives us about what we are to be like in a world that would do such things. I'd like to go to John chapter 10 and beginning in verse 7. This verse talks about how we can find security in Jesus. There's security in Jesus in this life, even though we may face physical danger. I was listening to a podcast a while back where these couple of guys were talking about the early Christians' outlook about persecution and the difficulties they went through the early church, learning what it meant to be a Christian. And all of these guys were being, they were getting born again, and they were serving in the military, and it was not an easy choice. And you know what their attitude was? Their attitude was, if you kill us, God's going to raise us up to new life, and we'll be better off than we are now. And so Jesus offers us security in this life, but in the life to come, an even greater security where there is no way for evil to reach us. And Jesus says here, beginning in verse 7 of John 10, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Those speak of security that we can find in Jesus. And those promises are very dear promises as we think about this world and what we deal with, and also as we communicate to those who are living in the world system and the world's culture. And then I'd like to go to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." And that is another verse that is a very dear verse. And we think about the invitation, the Spirit and the bride, the Spirit of God and the Church of Christ. Extend the offering to come. And it extends the offering for people to come and experience that water of life, and then also be a part of the message bearers and invite others to come. And that is to be our attitude as we are in this world, to know that message and to extend it to others. Also in Revelation chapter 21, verses that remind us of heaven, which is designed by God to be our destination. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 15, Jesus tells his disciples, "I'm going away, and I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and I'm preparing a place so that you can join me. Eventually, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Jesus is giving them the message. He's going away. So a place prepared by Jesus for those who know him and believe in the sacrifice that he was for all of mankind. So Revelation chapter 21. Here are words that are to be shaping our perspective as we live in this world, as we are surrounded with human nature and seeing what human nature does at times. In Revelation chapter 21, the vision that John saw, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So that is given to us as a promise, something to look forward to, a time where there will be fullness of joy in the presence of God, and all sorrow will be done away with. And that is Revelation 21, 1 through 7, and then, but verse 8, Revelation, verse 8, 21, 8, speaks of here, where it says, the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So I believe when we grasp those words, I think it behooves us to look with fear and pity on those who perpetrate evil, understanding their destiny if they do not repent of it. If we go to Revelation chapter 22, he begins the chapter there where he is talking about the river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. In the middle of the street, and on either side of the river, I'm looking forward to seeing that tree. I think that tree is going to be an amazing sight. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They will see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There will be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without, verse 15, without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And those are all verses, I believe, that if we take them to heart, are going to truly change the way that we look at people around us, whether they treat us the way we would like them to, or whether they surprise us with an evil treatment. I think these verses and many others will shape how we look at that. I'll go to a couple of verses in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that is often how people look at things that happen. They say, oh, that was a terrible thing to do. That person needs to die. That person needs to pay the price. That person needs to be punished. We want justice to be served. But Jesus says to us as his followers, I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it hath been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And those verses and many others, I believe, if we really look at them, and I know a lot of us do that, and those verses are really going to shape how we look at our life and what goes on around us. And there are terrible things that go on. They've been going on for a long time. And sometimes some of those things strike a little nearer than what we expect, and it brings it into a new perspective. But as God's people, God calls us to his word, brings us to his word. And there in his word, we have what we need to shape how we are to be looking at the world that we live in. And again, it's though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Those verses speak into our existence, speak into who we are. And yes, we have a pretty peaceful existence. But we see and we hear what's going on in the world around us. And let's allow the Word of God to shape who we are, how we look at all of that. Rather than demanding justice for evil, let's allow God to get us this picture. That one versus that one. And be able to communicate in the same way that Jesus communicated to people. And with the same kind of kindness and sympathy that Jesus showed. And I believe that that is what God wants for us, to be able to follow that kind of example. Okay, just a couple of things here in the end of our service. There's a reminder that we do have brothers meeting for Tuesday evening. Just remind you all of that. And also, we wanted to have a prayer time for Aaron before he leaves. He's going to serve for a term at Mountain View. And we wanted to have a time of prayer for him. So if Aaron, if you could come up, and Randy and Wanda, and I guess all of the family would like to join us, welcome to come up this time